It's 7:30 in New York, and I'm thrilled that you've joined me this evening for Success Bug Live Radio. You're listening to Niche Talk with me, your host, Susan Friedman, the nichepreneur coach and author of Riches and Niches, How to Make It Big in a Small Market. Every week on Niche Talk, you're guaranteed to learn insider secrets from the masters so that you can grow your business quicker, with less frustration, and that you can get rich in your niche. My guest tonight is an expert who's a relationship advocate. She believes productivity and success are achieved through relationships rather than revenue. Sandra Shelton has been speaking for over 20 years and has given over 2,600 presentations in 15 countries. Wow. She maintains a speaking business, is an executive coach and mentor, and is the executive director for a nonprofit she founded. Sandra shares from the heart and experience as she talks about the small business and entrepreneur's Achilles heel, and that is relationships first. So, Sandra, welcome to Niche Talk Radio.
Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, relationships rather than revenue is what it's all about. So, you know, when somebody says to you, what do you do? What business are you in? What's your typical response to that?
My typical response is I motivate people to look at what's around them, whether they're at work or whether it's teenagers in the community, and figure out where their place is so that we all get a better place in whatever we're doing. I'm really about the ultimate people and performance upgrade, what I call the ultimate people and performance upgrade. Everybody comes with a purpose. And once we figure that out, we get past a lot of the relational conflicts, and that's really why I focus my business on relational conflicts, because sometimes it's something we don't really think about. In fact, we just try to push out of the way.
So when you say relational conflicts, can you, you know, tell us more about that? What does that mean exactly?
Sure. Well, for the small, particularly focusing for the small business and the entrepreneur, it's about putting the business first, and by golly, they ought to buy this, you know. And it's about wearing out everybody in what I call your concentric circles of concern. By that I mean all of us have circles around us. They're relational circles. Some are really close to us. Some are really far out there. Some we don't ever really connect with more than a second or two. But the point is that if we are doing something and we're in business, whatever that business is, there's a service aspect, and I've called that service on purpose. That's the conflict resolver. In other words, I'm doing this because, number one, this is what I want to do, and you are gaining something from it because I keep you in the focus. One of the biggest problems I see with small business is they've lost the real connection to, but what if the customer doesn't like it? Or what if we're not providing now what we need to? Example, I have a friend in a small town in Oklahoma where I grew up, and he had a, it's just, you know, a kind of an office supply store. Well, there's an Office Depot now pretty close, and a Staples not far away, but yet he's thriving. And he's such a great example because he's just a family-owned business, small business. He took it over from his dad, and he began to realize that he needed to offer something more than the traditional office supplies. So literally, you go in there, and it's an oasis. It's almost like a Starbucks, but for office needs. I mean, it's hard to explain, but he's the example that I would give about a small business person who figured out, I've got to keep the relational connection, because when I don't and the business starts going down, I blame it on the customers, I blame it on the economy, and maybe the real deal was I never really asked or listened to what my customers were wanting, and that's a relationship thing. Running the business is just running the business. But prospering the business is about keeping the people you're serving right in the middle And that's relational. And you don't disagree with them. You don't say they're the problem. You don't say if these people would just, you know, understand what's the matter with them. They don't understand this is what they need. That doesn't work. That's the conflict.
So how do you start the process? I mean, there must be a way in which you can get started with this. You know, for somebody who's not used to doing business this way, what would you recommend?
Right. Well, I think from an entrepreneurial small business perspective, there was a passion that started this in the whole beginning. And I think the relational piece gets lost when we don't recharge as a person, you know, a relationship with ourselves in this business, if you will. For example, start listening to answers to these questions. Here's one. What do you do other than work? You asked me a moment ago, what do I typically tell people that I do? And that's, they're kind of prepared for that, the elevator speech, the, you know, this is basically what I'm about, or here's my passion. But what about the question, what do you do other than work? And I find that an amazing pause. I just get this big, pregnant pause. And so if that is a pause, then let's talk about how do we get some better answers for that. You know, get involved somewhere. Right now, it's a good time to talk about, we've got an election coming up in 2012, and the American culture is, you know, that year before an election, particularly a presidential election year, everybody gets excited. And, you know, well, you know, our work, what we do as entrepreneurs or small businesses, depends on the economy of this company, I mean this country. And right now, of course, it's strange, but you could do that every year. I mean, every year the economy is an issue. But here's the thing. Credibility is a strong relationship draw in. If I go and I get involved, let's say I decide to take 4 hours and go down and, you know, help in the election booth or whatever, all I'm doing is saying I'm a part of something bigger than my work. Now, I don't do it as an advertising mechanism. I do it because when somebody asks me the question, or I ask it to myself, that's more important. What do I do other than work? Do I just take, and then complain about what's going on in the economy, complain about what our legislators are doing, and yet I am so tunnel vision on my business that I'm not involved with my community as just a citizen? And that's really a relational connection, and it starts connecting you to what others that would buy from you, that would sell to you too as well, you know, choose good vendors. It's all relational, but it's about connecting with people who also are about something you're about bigger than your work. That's one way. You re-energize your own passion because you see the need. You reaffirm the need for what you offer when you're out there in the community doing things. And another thing, you kind of mentioned it, the nonprofit we do is about getting people, small business and entrepreneurs are our best mentors. We have a program that takes the idea of relationship skills into high schools so that they're prepared for the workplace relationally. And trust me, schools aren't doing that, but the relational piece really needs to be there. And I mean, these people, small business, and I love them, because they're the kind of folks that come in and they see the big picture and they just share with these kids, you know, we have a certification program we go through that it's very free, and these are the people that show up. And I'm always interested. Now, we do have employees of large organizations that show up to mentor too, but I'm just saying that if you think, well, I don't have time, you don't have time not to get connected. These are the kids that are going to come up and may be on your front lines to hire. These are the kids that may be somebody that needs whatever it is you offer. But that's just kind of the superficial point. The relational point is you're a part of this community, and you're a giver as well as I have something great to offer. And sometimes the kids tell you where you need to change. You know, the virtual world and all of that, as I work in the mentor groups, man, talk about keeping me on the edge of what's really going on in the virtual world. These kids know. I mean, they're growing up with it, you know.
They're growing up.
They've taught me business things. They have no idea what they've taught me. I mean, they have no idea. So that's what I've said. The get involved, it's a mutual relationship giving. It's not what's the matter with teens today. It's not why isn't our community stepping up? It's about, well, I'm stepping up, and in the process, I grow. And just, does it grow my business? Yeah, because I'm now multifaceted. I'm now somebody more than just somebody that owns a business and has their head buried in it 24 hours a day. That recharge.
So do you find, Sandra, that people are willing to open up and share this? Because this is sort of a private part. They've come to buy something from you, you know, a product, a service, and then you start asking them about their private life. You know, how do people react? Are they a bit skeptical that, you know, why do you want to know that? Do you ever get that?
Well, actually, I wasn't really thinking about the question that you'd ask a customer. I was thinking from an entrepreneurial standpoint about recharging my own creativity and passion for what I do. And the relation, and you were asking about, you know, what did I mean by the conflicts? The first conflict, and maybe I didn't state it clearly, is with yourself. You know, the burnout, and you see all the entrepreneur articles about don't be a martyr, you know, why is it not working for you anymore? And there's a guy out there, I think he's called, what is it? Something toilet paper. Here it is. The toilet paper entrepreneur. He gave 44 ways that you can invigorate your entrepreneurial drive. It needs invigorating, and that's invigorating, just like engagement, is a relational piece. So what I was really talking to was, no, you would not ask your, you know, people that do your services necessarily unless they're a longtime customer and you get into other conversations. I'm just saying the power of being able to answer, what do you do other than work, becomes a relational strength for you and develops a whole cadre of sources to reinvigorate, you know, somebody wanting to know what you do rather than you leading out with it up front, rather than your company or your entrepreneurial venture being your only identity. You know, sometimes being anonymous and kind of going back a moment and just getting in a whole other mindset with other people, all it does is strengthen what you're doing as a business. You're connecting with the people that you can get ideas from, and they're not necessarily going to target them because they may not even know what you do for a living. You know, when you're sitting there, you're working side by side stuffing ballots or whatever it happens to be, because I was thinking of the, you know, as you know, I might not even know, but I get to know you. And then after that's done, we may get into conversation, we may not. But I just find when I get out in the community and I get involved in other things where I'm not necessarily known as a speaker, I'm not known as an executive director for a nonprofit, I just get amazing ideas. And I keep connecting with, yeah, you know, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Yeah, you know, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing, et cetera. What do you do other than work? That's what that was about.
We definitely need that. You're absolutely right. I mean, we need it to recharge ourselves. But, you know, you also say, as I say, you talk about relationships with your clients. I mean, how do you develop those? You've got it with yourself. And that's wonderful, but how about if you develop relationships, you know, with your clients? How do you go about doing that?
Conversationally, it's always with a listening ear. It's not what do you need today or here's what I have to offer. You may already know. It depends on if you're talking about a new client or an established client. But it's really getting to what's new in their need bank. Or asking questions that would lead them to, you know, I didn't realize I had that need, but I do. For example, one of my favorite questions to ask is, you having any retention or engagement issues? Is that a big thing with you? And with some companies, it isn't. I mean, it depends on the company. It depends on how long they've been in business, and it depends on their growth cycle. But I find that something that's not on the top of their head, they've labeled it something else. You know, retention and engagement aren't something on my top burner that's going to get something in my bottom line today. You know, that's for the HR people to worry about, you know, if it's a big enough company to have a separate division. But when you're an entrepreneur in small business, sometimes you're it, and it's hard to get focused there. It's hard to stay focused, and that's really why I do, on the people. people part of business, because that's really where the bottom line is. But it's hard to keep conversations with your clients based on what's going on, how can I help, but not so much that as, you know, just talk to me, open-ended. Well, talk to me, how's business going? And what I always find interesting is to the answer to the question, how's business? When I start getting a response that's, oh, my goodness, I'm just so busy, I can't even see straight, you just wouldn't believe, and it gets to all this task orientation, all that does is give me a clue of where I want to lead them, because I get into the, well, what would it be like if this particular piece wasn't on your plate? Now I'm starting to coach. To me, keeping a relationship with anyone, much less your clients, and more so your clients, is listening and coaching. Coaching to what they may need, and you know what? It might not be even something I particularly offer, but if it gives them an idea, the relationship is more solid. I want to be a resource. I can't tell you how many times when I've asked clients how business is going, they get into an issue that really has nothing to do with where my focus is, but I say, you know, I know something, and it may have nothing to do with what I offer, but I can offer a colleague, or I can offer a solution I found. A lot of times it's virtual. Today we're all still learning virtual, and I mean, when I learn something, I like to spread the word, you know, particularly when someone gets into, I'm in overwhelm, I'm just, you know, there's just too much going on, I can't see my, you know, my end for what's in front of me right now. And with small business and entrepreneurs, that's pretty typical. And if I can get you to the big picture, if I can get you to thinking there's help out there, and that you can grasp it, and it's not going to cost you $1,050 a second or something to do it. It may be just an awareness. That's what I love. I mean, in relationships, to me, relationships, conversation are synonymous, and communication are synonymous terms. So if you're going to improve relationships, that's why I talk so much about communication. You really have to understand how to listen. And most of us, we've got two ears, but I got to tell you, listening is last. We're just not talking until it's our turn, but we're really not listening to respond to what that other person is saying. So however it is, you get to your customers. And, you know, if it's people sell, if it's retail, for example, your small business is retail, and you've got people out on the floor, you know, are you listening to what conversations are going on with the people you hire? I mean, are you really listening to whether they're listening? And that gets into things you can train. And you're always looking for, I think, as an entrepreneur or a small business, whether you realize it or not, is somebody that can replace you in something that just drains your energy. So if you can hire with that in mind, what could this person do ultimately that would replace me having to keep my eye on that ball? Because you may not have an HR department and a graphics design department and a marketing department. You may not have all that. You may be a sole proprietor. You may be a small business of 10 or 15 people. But what is it? It's listening to what they're doing with your customers so that you can figure out, whoa, that person might be good to tell all the others in our team meeting, you know, how that went. Look for stars in conversations, because that's how you start seeking better relationships with your customers. You pay attention to the conversations that are happening. You encourage conversations by asking questions rather than saying all the great stuff we have for you today.
So at what point do you start the sales process? Because, you know, this is great, but, you know, the relationship, you know, if you're looking to be a resource for somebody else, that's very nice, but that doesn't pay your bills. You've still got to make some sales. So where does the sales process fit into all of this that you're talking about, which makes so much sense, and I love it, but, you know, there's still that sales aspect.
Well, now we go back to your passion. You say being a resource for them on something else is nice, but it doesn't put money in your pocket right now. Well, that's short-term thinking, because relationships are built on the fact that they keep coming back to you. Let me give you an example. Federal Express over the years has been this way for me. I don't ship much of anything except Federal Express. Now, why do I do that? I've had I'll give you one. I lost baggage on an airline, and it was critical, and I was under a timeline to get to the client, and I really had to have my materials, and this was several years ago. And all I could think of at the moment, this was in West Virginia, and all I could think of at the moment was the only person that came into my mind that could help me get my bags from point A to point B in time for me to have before the next morning was Federal Express. You know what? I called Federal Express. I said, I don't even know why I'm calling you. I know you're not the airline, but I just know you can help me. Can you help me figure out, or is there any way you can get those bags and get them to me in time? End of the story was, the woman brainstormed with me, and actually FedEx couldn't do it because of location logistics and so forth and so on. But she calmed me down. She helped me figure out a plan, and I got that stuff, and I was able to go back to the counter and give the baggage people an idea they hadn't had. Did Federal Express get any money out of that at the moment? Absolutely none. Except what did I tell you at the beginning? I don't ship anything but Federal Express. I think one time they lost one flip chart. This was way back in the 80s. One time. That's it. And I figure that's a pretty good record. But more than that, I can call them, and I'm talking to somebody who's giving service, what I call service on purpose. That means on purpose that you and I, for this moment, have a human relationship, and I might be able to help you. I hope I can. But on the other side, I'm going to listen, and maybe if there's something else I can suggest as well, I'll do it. And I, you know, I've over the years developed companies that I literally do business with them because it's a joy. It's a joy. And do they get my business? Yeah. But maybe not in that particular moment. So someone could come in and they could need something and it wouldn't be me. But if they remembered me as the resource, I guarantee you they'll be back. And that's the grocery store, that's the retail store, that's selling business products or financial advice or whatever it happens to be. I could give you a million examples about my bank. I mean, the people I work with in my bank who, you know, may or may not get more of my business at the moment, but I know they're a solid resource. Isn't that the way we look at relationships? Or do we just use relationships?
Bring the bank up. Yeah, it's interesting that you should bring the bank up, because I had that exact same scenario with my bank and my husband's bank.
Yeah.
From bank, and every time he goes into my bank, he says, oh, they are so nice. And I'm like, well, why don't you change and come and, you know, bank with them, you know?
It's the service on purpose is about, you know, I want to have better relationships, and I hope one of them is I become your vendor. You know, I hope that's one of them. But I better have something to offer more than just more than just whatever I'm throwing at you. I see so many independent business people and small business people who can't even talk to you about anything other than why you should use what they're doing. And that's just a turnoff.
That's so true.
That's a relationship. That's a conflict. That's a break.
Mm. So somebody calls, you know, you up and asks, you know, what are your prices? What do you charge to do something? How might you handle that conversation?
Well, it kind of depends on the industry you're in. If we're on price, I figure it's a broken relationship, frankly. If all you're searching for is price, then really we have nothing to talk about. Because I can't, no matter what I do, you're going to find somebody lower. And I just say, you know what? First, what is it you need? I don't even know that I can help you. That's usually how I respond to that, is, you know, what is it that you're looking for? And then we get into a whole different discussion, and what's interesting is that price isn't the first consideration when you really get down to value. But if you're talking to someone that just can't get out of the price, it's a short conversation. I wish you well, and I may give you an idea of, for example, someone will call and they'll say, here's what I'd like. We, you know, we have 2 hours, and we're a group, and this is what we want, and this is what we want people to walk away with. Can you help us? And I go, well, actually, yeah, with a few more questions, that's my niche, okay? That's where I work. And they say, well, now we don't have a big budget. You know, we only have, you know, say $200. And I go, well, that's terrific. And I let me compliment you on that. You're wanting to, you know, increase the value of your organization. You're wanting to really, you know, put personal growth there on the top line, and that's great. But I'll tell you something. That's not within my working budget, but I do some of those, but I'm kind of booked with my pro bono and those kind of fees. But I know someone who is kind of in that market. They're just starting out. They're very good. You're going to get a lot of good, fresh content, and I think you'll be pleased. Would you like for me to recommend someone in that budget range? Now we go back to networking, which is relational for entrepreneurs and small business. You can't stay in your business in a hole. Your networking is really to find people to refer. Now, that's the more positive. That's the way I walk into networking events. I want somebody who, if I can't do it, I want to know somebody that I would really, they would add credit and value to my referring them. And that's why I want to get to know you. But in this case, go back to my scenario, yeah, you know, I'd always have someone to offer. But what I find is they say, well, you know, I appreciate that. Let me say this. What would you normally charge? And then I tell them. And they say, well, let me see if I can work that out. Not every time, but I will tell you at least 50% of the time. I mean, sometimes it's really a strapped kind of deal. They'll come back and they say, well, you know, we figured out. One time it took a woman 2 years. And it was 2 years after we had had the conversation, and she had had some other people come in, and she said, Sandra, I finally got it. I've been working with my organization, and we've been kind of just realizing we need to put a little more investment here because we really need you. Well, that was cool, you know, but I didn't know it was going to happen. And in the meantime, I had the joy of knowing I'd given somebody, some people who were starting out in the business, a chance to get their feet wet and actually get paid something for the day.
Interesting. I love that.
So, you know, if you don't look at it as we're people, your customers are people, you know, and if we can't connect with them in some other way other than, you know, well, how many of these do you want, and don't you want more, and don't you have somebody else that might be interested in this? I got to tell you, we get that so much that all of a sudden it's like, I might buy right now. You might convince me to buy something, but that'll be the last time I'll buy it from you, because I just don't want to go through that every time.
Yeah,
I want to go back to the person who was really interested, who might have even followed up. You know, again, this would depend on the product or the industry, who followed up and said, well, how did that work for you? You know, we had this discussion about XYZ and you bought the blah, 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 blah. Did that work for you? Oh, my gosh. The relationship will cement a long-term customer in a nanosecond when you do something like that.
It's interesting, you know, when you talk about the price issue, because there's always going to be somebody who can be cheaper. And I had a scenario much like what you were saying, except that the client came back and they said to me, well, we're going as somebody who's offering it for free. I'm like, you know, I can't beat that.
That's
they
right.
came back to me afterwards and they said, we, you know, you get what you pay for. And they were very unhappy with what they got, and they said, I wish we'd gone with you.
And so maybe next time, you know, everybody has their learning curve, and I know budget constraints are budget constraints, but I also know, you know, if you want to offer value, you've got to respect somebody else's purpose for being on the earth. And if you want the value they bring to the table, I mean, that's a price tag. And I think, of course, I'm speaking now from a freelance standpoint in that people sometimes don't realize if they're in a business or they're working for another company that they, you know, their cash flow is regular. You know, it's like, well, can't you just do this for free? And I always want to say, well, let's talk about the value of free. Would you do, and I love to ask this question, and even of small business and entrepreneur, would you do what you're doing today if there was no money going to come across the table? And if they say yes, that substantiates passion. But if they're in a salary, they go, well, no, 99.9% of the time, no. And then I ask them that next magic question, because, again, I'm about the relationship. I say, what would it be that you would say you do, whether you got paid for it or not. And they tell you. And then you start working. Then you go into the coaching mode, you know, because that's so often the problem. That really isn't the problem that often with small business and entrepreneurs, because usually you don't get into that unless you have a passion for it. But let me go back to where we were at the first, because we're sort of at the wrap-up point. If you don't keep your passion invigorated, and the best way to keep it invigorated and alive, and your creativity goes right along with it, is to get involved with people in other settings as well, but also in whatever you're doing, but not to sell. You sell relationship selling, and actually that's a term we hear a lot. It's really about getting involved with people. But from an entrepreneur small business standpoint, it's keeping alive. Yeah, I do have something to offer. And, you know, I am serving a need. But you got to get involved with people, you know, all around your concentric circles. Don't just focus on the ones calling or the ones coming in the front door, because that's, you know, then you get tunnel vision and all you're doing is providing a product until they find somebody else that's cheaper or somebody else that offers better service.
Fabulous. I love it. So, Sandra, as you said, it's almost time to wrap up. Couple of things. First of all, what's a golden nugget that you would like to leave our listeners with if there was just one piece of advice that you could give them?
Whatever you do, make it the thing that you do even if money weren't involved. Then you're going to be relationally sound. And, yeah, we have to pay attention to that, but that's really the nugget. Whatever it is you're doing, it needs to be something you do just naturally if money weren't the issue.
Fabulous, fabulous. And if our listeners want to get hold of you, how can they do that?
Best way is go to my website, sandrashelton.com, and there's information out there, contact, and all that good stuff. That's what I love about the Internet. It makes it so easy. It just does.
The Internet is amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
It has its foibles and its bumbles, and oh my gosh, the learning curve just will never stop. But I think it's exciting.
It is. So give us that contact information once again.
SandraShelton.com. And I'll leave the HTTP and www as a given. It's Sandra Shelton, S-H-E-L-T, not D, Shelton.com.
Excellent. Well, Sandra, we've enjoyed having you. Thank you for sharing some real gems and some real takeaways that we can use, some very practical information.
Well, I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you for being on the show. So, everyone, thank you for being here and staying tuned for Niche Talk, the program that brings you tips and techniques to help you grow rich in your small business. And join me again next week at 7:30 Eastern Time when you'll learn more insider niche marketing secrets from the masters. And remember, for more great resources, sign up for a free membership at SuccessBug.com. I'm Susan Friedman, the Nichepreneur Coach, wishing you much success to get rich in your niche.